There we go.
Ta-da!
It takes us all to make it work, doesn't it?
Amen. Praise the Lord. The kids, I think the kids going to be excused now. This thing seems like it's really far out there to you. Is it just me? I guess I have to hold this. Keep hold of this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yep. Kids all going to junior church. Praise the Lord. Good luck there, Jesse. Praying for you, brother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You guys excited about being in church this morning?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Boy, howdy. You got to listen to me. I feel sorry for you guys. A couple disclaimers. I am not a very intelligent person. First disclaimer. Second disclaimer. I don't know anything about the Word of God. I have found that I know nothing. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to keep digging. I'm going to keep digging. And the reason I'm here today, I believe, is the Lord has something that He wants me to hear in this. Okay? Yeah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Praise Heavenly Father, we stand before You. We are sinners. I am a sinner, Father. And I stand before You totally condemned. But because of what Your Son did on that cross, because of the beatings He took, because of the blood that He shed, Father, when You look at me, You see nothing but Your Son. When You look at those in this audience, Father, You see nothing but Your sons and Your daughters. Oh, Father, I praise You for that. I praise You for that, Father. I thank You. Father, I just need Your help, need Your wisdom, need Your understanding, need Your Spirit to be strong and powerful today, that we can hear what You have to say and that we can apply it to our lives. Father, in Your precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So are you excited about being in church today?
Yes.
You knew I was going to be preaching. You think, oh, not this guy again. Wow, isn't that something? I'm going to put my old man glasses on. Not so I can see you, but so I can see this. If you guys look at your bulletin, do you see what we're talking about today? See what that is? See what's the title of the sermon today? Well done, good and faithful servant. Have you ever heard that? You ever heard that? Anybody say, hey, you did a good job. Good job. You know what it's going to be like? I have no idea. You know what it's going to be like to stand in the presence of the Almighty God on His throne, and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, seated at His right hand, and Christ said, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Huh? Wouldn't y'all go, yes, I want that! Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? We're going to talk about it today because I don't think it's going to be as easy as we think it is. And that's what hurt. I told Les a couple weeks ago, he said, I was talking about speaking on Easter. I said, the sermon I have is not an Easter sermon. Okay? It is not. He said, good. Good. It's not an Easter sermon. We're going to be in Matthew 25. I want you to go to Matthew 25. We're going to read a section of Scripture here, and we're going to go back and look at it. I'm going to show you how I look at Scripture. You can read it. I meditate on it, try to think about it, let the Holy Spirit do His thing, and then I go back and look at word by word what it's trying to tell me. And then I have to think about it some more. Okay, so Matthew 25. Matthew 25, we're going to start, I think we're going to start in verse 13. I'm going to read a section of Scripture here. This is some parables the Lord Jesus Christ is telling people. He's telling some parables. And what is a parable? Kind of a story that alludes to a meaning that he's trying to get across. Okay, it's a story. It's not coming out and saying, you know what, your shirt's blue. Okay, you know, if you take a couple of colors, you mix these together, and you put them in a dye, it's kind of a parable. You need kind of, okay, I kind of think what you're trying to tell me. My shirt's blue, but I don't understand. It's a parable. Okay, Matthew chapter 25. We're going to start in verse 13. I'm going to read a section of Scripture here. I want you to just listen to it, and we're going to go back and look at it. Okay, here we go. It says, verse 13, watch therefore, and I'm reading now the Amplified, so it may be a little bit different, but it says, give strict attention and be cautious and active, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come. Talking about the return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? For it's like a man who was about to take a long journey, and he called his servants together and entrusted them with his property. To one he gave 5 talents, and to each in proportion, and to another 2, and to another 1. To each in proportion to his own personal ability. Then he departed and left the country. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he gained 5 talents more. But he received the, and likewise, he who had received the 2 talents, he also gained 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came and brought him 5 more, saying, Master, you entrusted me to 5 talents. See, here I've gained 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, you upright and honorable and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of much. Enter into and share the joy which is your master enjoys. Verse 22, and he also who had 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you entrusted me 2 talents to me. Here I have gained 2 talents more. His master said unto him, Well done, you upright and honorable and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over little. I will put you in charge of much. Enter into and share the joy which your master enjoys. Verse 24, he who had received 1 talent also came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a harsh and hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you had not winnowed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is your own. But his master answered him, You wicked and lazy and idle servant, did you indeed know that I reap where I have not sowed, and gather grain where I have not winnowed? Then you should have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received what is my own with interest. So take the talent away from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to every one who has will more be given. He will be furnished richly, so he will have an abundance. But from the one who takes not, who does not have, even take what he has, will be taken away. And throw the good-for-nothing servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. And verse 31 says, When the Son of Man comes in his glory, his majesty and splendor, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Start out with Christ coming, we end with Christ coming. What's this parable about? Money, right? Money, 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 right? Matthew. We all know who Matthew was. What did Matthew do for a living before Christ called him to be an apostle? He was a tax collector. What did he deal with? Money, 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 money. He dealt with money. The only place you're going to find this word for talent in the New Testament is in Matthew. He's the only one who uses it. It's talent. Okay. Let's go back and look at this. There's a whole bunch of stuff to cover here, and I don't know where we're going to end up. This parable of talents illustrates the tragedy of wasted opportunity. Right? This guy got some money to give to him. He did absolutely nothing with it. The man who goes on the journey represents, and here a lot of times, a lot of people say this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He died. He rose from the grave. He ascended back into heaven. What did the angels tell him? Said, hey, this guy you've seen leave, he's going to come back the same way. That's what it analogy to. That's what it leads to. Okay. He's like a man that takes a long journey. Christ has gone on a long journey. What has he done? He gives his servants. This word for servant here is doulos. It is a bond slave. Paul says, you know what? I'm a bond slave to Christ Jesus. I do nothing but his will. Okay? So we got 3 guys here that are supposed servants of the master. I think because of what we've already read, 2 of these guys use their talents, and one of these guys does nothing with it. Okay? This is hard. And I want you, this is hard because I want you to look at this, and let's just go through this. Okay, in verse 15 it says, To one he gave 5 talents. 5 talents is roughly between 5,000 and 6,000 denarii, an old Roman, Greco-Roman money. Okay? That's what it is. So the first guy gets about $145,000. It's not too bad chump change, is it? It's nice. And second guy he gives 2, and that amounts to about $58,000. That's pretty cool. That's a nice chunk of change. And the third guy gets about $29,000. Okay. So, what's he say? And to each in proportion to his own personal ability. Now, why didn't he just give them all 5? Couldn't handle 5, right? When we look at this, this word for talents here is actually originally a balance, a scale. It had everything to do with who you are. Really? Your talent. What are you talented in doing? Cooking? Cleaning? And big mouth? Huh? What are you talented in doing? This word originally meant your time. Everything that you are. That's what it is. It's not just talking about money. This parable stresses money because Matthew was a tax collector. He was a money man. And he brings it across. This word originally in the Greek meant everything that you are. Wow. Kind of brings it home a little bit, doesn't it? Quiet. I can hear the crickets chirping. Huh? Everything that you are. Huh? Okay. So he gives each one of his own personal ability. Does anybody here think they'd love to be Billy Graham? No hands, mine either. Wow. Look what the guy's done. Huh? God has given him an awesome talent. He used it. He furthered the kingdom. He growed his talent. Right? Not everybody here is going to be a Billy Graham. I'm not. Huh? So to each one he gives to their ability. What's God given you to your ability? Interesting. Let's go on. So he gives each one of them to their own personal, and he leaves. He takes off. Said, I'm out of here. I'm going to give you my property. I am going to give you my property to keep until I come back. That's what Christ's saying. What property did he give you? What did he give you? You, your talents, your abilities, your stuff. Huh? It's all his anyway. He just gave it to you to take care of, right? Your money? Huh? It always comes back to our money. You ever notice that? It always comes back to money. It always does. Because that's the thing that you can give away, right? If you feel you need to. Huh? Or you want to. Huh? I'm going to go to one book to the left, Malachi. I want to read you something. Because I want to tie this in with money. I don't want to stress and get stuck on money. This parable has to do with money, but the word actually has to do with everything that you are. Everything. Keep that in mind. Your gifts. If you came to me and said, you know what, I'm hungry. You got anything for me? I'm hungry. And I said, you know what, dude? I got this package. I put $10,000 in it. I wrapped it and I put a bow on it and I give it to you. Okay. And you take that package and you set it on your kitchen table and you never open it. And you think, I'm really hungry. I'm still hungry. Would that gift do you any good? If you didn't open it. Huh? So when God gives you a gift, whatever that might be, if you never open it, you're never going to use it, right? It's never going to benefit anybody, right? Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to start probably in verse 6. There's a lot of stuff here. And I don't want to draw this out, but I want you to get a handle on where this is going. We are not saved by works. We know that. The only way we are saved is because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross, right? That's it. That's the lump sum. You get plugged in, as Dougie said, you get plugged in to the cross and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get plugged into that, and you receive that Holy Spirit in your life, and He starts working and moving and leading you. And that gift that He gives you, you want to use. You want to use that to bless others. Huh? I want to look at Malachi 3, because this is a money thing, and it ties in with your money. It ties in with your time. It ties in with everything that you are. I want you to keep that in mind. Everything that makes you, you, this ties into. Okay? Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says,
God's talking to the people here. This is just another analogy. It's just one thing that God picks out, because there's a lot of things that these people have been doing wrong, but God picks us up. Verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. That's why you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed." Huh? Wow. When I read that, I thought, praise the Lord for your grace. Praise the Lord for your grace. Praise the Lord for your grace. Verse 7. "Even from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." But you say, how shall we return? Verse 8. "Will a man rob or defraud God?" Are you robbing God? How do you rob God? God says, "Yet you rob and defraud me." What? But you say, in what way do you rob or defraud? How are we robbing you, God? How am I robbing you? What's he say? "You withheld your tithes and your offerings." Wow. "You are cursed with the curse, for you are robbing me, even this whole nation." What? You're cursed with a curse? You mean to tell me that if you're not tithing and giving your time and who you are to God? Wow. He says, "You're robbing me." He says, "I give you something and you ain't using it." Ooh. Does this hurt? Yeah. When I looked at this, I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I going to just preach this? All right, Lord, we're going to move through it. And I want you to see some things. This is not a feel-good message, but it is. Let's keep going. Say, verse 9, "You are cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me." This is the God that said, "Let there be light." And that big ugly thing in the sky that you can't look at, it was there. And 10 billion, trillion, zillion other ones just like it appeared. Dude, that's some power, isn't it? And he just said, "Let there be light." This is the God saying, "Try me out. Prove me. Prove me. If you don't believe it, just prove me. Just prove me. If you don't think I can run 100 yards, you just try it. I'll do it." That's what God's saying. "You just prove me. I'll prove it to you." Keep going. "And prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it." What? God said, "You just try me. Try me. Try me. Try me." And what's this verse 11? "And I will rebuke the devourer, insects and plagues for your sakes, and they shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine drop its fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord. All nations shall call you happy and blessed, for you shall say, for you shall be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts." What's he saying here, guys? Do you understand that the money you have is not yours? I've come to the realization this a long time ago. It's not mine. It's his. If I couldn't work, if I was sick, if I had no brains in my head, which I don't usually, only by the grace of God, I do my job. And I get a paycheck for that, right? I get a wage for that, right? It's a reward for working, right? Same thing here. God's saying, it's mine. I'm going to give it to you. And I want to see what you're going to do with it. Are you going to be like that guy and bury it in the ground and do absolutely nothing with it? If you got your paycheck every week and you stuck it in a drawer, would it do you any good? No. You're not going to put food on the table. It's not going to pay the bills. It's not going to electric. You're going to be living in the street. But I got all these paychecks. But I ain't cashing them. It's the same thing. You getting that? This is hard, but I want you to understand. In verse 11 it says, "I will rebuke the devourer." And this devourer, who is the devourer? Who do you suppose that is? Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. He just hates you. He hates your guts. He hates you. You know why? Because you can stand before a holy God, sinful, dirty trash that I am, and Christ says, "I paid the price, and you can't touch him. He's mine. He's mine." He's like, "I just hate that guy, hate that guy, hate that guy, hate that guy." Can you imagine him? That's what he does. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. It says a thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy everything you have. He wants to take it all. He wants to do you like Job. He wants to take everything you got and kill you. That's what he wants. God says, you know what? If you're faithful to me, if you are faithful to me, I go to the widow with two mites. She had nothing. And she still gave something back to God. Now, when I look at this rebuke and devour, I think about this. I thought about this week, you know. How many times do you have an appliance go bad? I'm the only one, probably. You guys' appliances last for 30 years. Great. Come home. Something's wrong with the washer. It's making a funny noise and there's water on the ground. It's a bad sign. Okay? Or the refrigerator. There's water leaking out from underneath the refrigerator. It's not good. You know this is not good, right? And this is going to cost you money. We all know that, right? This is going to happen. When he says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer, things like that, still going to happen. But God works them out so he's not destroying you. So the money you have, you're going to go, I'm going to tell you this right up front, from personal experience, from proving God and who he is, you're going to go so much further with that 90% than you ever would with 100. I'm telling you. And I'm telling you this too, it doesn't actually tie into money, also it ties into who you are, your talents, your time. What do you do with your talents? What do you do with your time? Huh? Give some to God. See what he does. Anybody have enough time to do everything you want to do in every day? No, we don't, do we? Are you stressed? Are you stressed? Do you know you're too blessed to be stressed? Huh? Huh? You know what stress backwards spells? Dessert. Yeah. How many with me on that, huh? Stress backwards spells dessert. Huh? Huh? When you get to know God, and guys, the only way you're going to get to know him is to read this book. I pray to God, and I look at this book, and it's like stuff comes out. It's like, dude, where'd that come from? It's like this message today. I have said to myself, well done, good and faithful. I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy that God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done. I got to do something. Works does not get you to heaven, right? It doesn't. But what is the fruit of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You're going to want to do something for him, ain't you? You're just going to kick back. Yeah. I'm saved, and I know it, and I'm doing nothing else but sit on this couch and watch TV. Huh? You ain't doing nobody no good, and you're hurting yourself, right? Let's go back to Matthew 25. Are you getting a hold of this just a little bit, maybe, possibly? We looked at Malachi. On our way back to Matthew 25, let's stop in Matthew 6. I want to read you a little something. Matthew chapter 6. It's all kind of tied in with Matthew, which is kind of cool. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. It says, do not gather and heap up and store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust and worm consume and destroy and where thieves break through and steal. But gather and heap up and store for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor worm consume and destroy and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You get that? It's not a bad thing to keep stuff. It's not a bad thing to have an account, save some money. It's not a bad thing to have stuff. This is not all bad. But when it becomes your God, so, you know, I make enough money. I don't need anybody to help me. I'm good. When it becomes your God, look out. Look out. Let's go to Matthew 25. I hope you guys are getting this, because when I looked at this, I thought, Father, how am I going to pull this all together and make this sound like it has some kind of reasonable amount of cohesiveness to it? It's a big word. I just thought of that right there, which is good. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Let's go through here. Okay, we got these talents. We know this talent is a talent, not only money, but your time, your abilities, who you are. Keep that in mind. Keep in mind. Let's keep moving here. So the first guy, he goes and takes his five and makes five more. Pretty cool. He's industrious. He's working. He's wanting to get something done, keeping after it, right? Second guy, same thing. He's working. He's industrious. He wants to get something done. He's working for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Woo!
missionary in, yeah, you know what I mean? In his hometown, where he works. He didn't go anywhere. He's just preaching to those guys that work around him. And say, you're a total idiot.
I know it, but praise the Lord, I am.
Huh? What's this third guy do? Now, if I gave you a bunch of money, and you said, you know what? If I take it to the bank's going to crash. If I give it to somebody to keep for me, I don't know if I can trust them. I think I'm going to go bury it in the ground out in the backyard in the mason jar. People have done that before, right? Kind of do that. It's what they do, right? So it's not a totally bad idea, right? He's going to preserve this thing. I'll put it in a jar. We'll put some paper in there and put the lid on it. It's going to be okay, right? It'll be okay. This third guy, he goes and digs a hole, puts it in the ground. Never looks at it. Maybe he looks out in the window once in a while. Now, dirt, grass is growing. Still there. Nobody's got it. Huh? He didn't do nothing with it. It's just there. It's like your talent. It's like your money. If you put your paycheck in the drawer and never spend it, never cash it, it does you no good. Right? So what happens here? The master comes back. Woo! Christ is going to return again. Huh? Praise the Lord. And he's coming back, guys. And he's going to come back and he's going to settle accounts. But I don't get to heaven by works. No, you don't. Praise the Lord, we don't. You do not get to heaven by works. You get to heaven by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing who he said he was, believing he's God, the Son of God. That's how you get to heaven. This other stuff is just stuff. So what's this? What do we do this other stuff for? Because we can? No. Because we love God. And we want to try to be a blessing to others, right? Do you think you're going to get a reward for that? I'm asking a question. You think you're going to get a reward for the works you do? No? Don't think? You are. You are. You are. Let's keep going. And verse 21 says, Master said to him, okay, the first guy says, hey, Father, what you give me, I've used, I've worked, I've done this stuff, praise the Lord, and it was for you. And what's he say? He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. You did good. You took what I gave you. You used it. You used it. And he says, because you've been faithful in a little bit, I'm going to put you in charge of a lot. Wow. Wow. Enter into the joy which your master enjoys. Everybody want to have a little joy in their life? You have some misery right now? Been miserable a little bit? Yeah. You want to have a little joy? Christ says, you know what? Because you were faithful, you're going to enter into my rest, my joy, my rest. Second guy, same thing. Says, well done. Well done. You did good, bud. You only got two, but you took and used that talent, whatever that was. What is your talent? Maybe playing an instrument. Maybe singing. What is your talent? What do you use your talent for? What is it you're using it for? Are you blessing somebody else with it? Do you think? Well, I see a homeless guy going down the road, and their church guys are behind me, so I'll stop and give me some money. It'll make me look pretty good. Right? Huh? Is that why we do it? No, it's not why we do it. Do you think there's going to be a reckoning for that? Hey, well, we're going to get there. We'll keep moving. Okay. And the one that received the one talent, he says, boy, I knew you were a hard fellow. You were a hard fellow. And I know you reap where you never sowed. And I know you winnow where you never planted. I knew you'd be a hard man. You a hard man. So I took that talent and buried it, and here it is. Do you think this servant really know who the Lord Jesus Christ is? He doesn't, does he? He says, God is hard. God's a hard man. God is righteous. He is righteous. And the only way you and I are righteous is because through him, right? Amen. The only righteous we have. So we see there's a lot of bad stuff going on here, and we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to have to look at some other stuff really quick, okay? All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to show you something here. I didn't get to cover half of what I wanted to, and that's okay. I want you to understand that your work that you do, your work that you do, someone's watching. And it ain't your neighbor. And it ain't somebody that goes to church with you. Somebody's keeping track of it. But you said, I don't get to heaven by works. You don't. Let's read a little couple of verses of Scripture here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want you to see this because I want to tie this into Revelation chapter 19. Huh? And I think this is... When I read this, you notice I get a little excited sometimes. I try to restrain myself and try to hold it down as best I could. But I was like, yes! Yes! Why do I do what I do? Praise the Lord! It isn't for people to say, you know what, he's just a big mouth, loud mouth guy. He's a big mouth guy. He's just ugly and he's a big mouth. Why does he even get up there? He's just got a big mouth. It's not why I do it. I've been accused of that before, actually. I have. Several years ago, I think some people know about that, I was told that I had no business up there because I got too big of a mouth. And I was told to pray about it, and I did. And you know what the Lord did to me? Oh, my gosh. It was like, yes! It was worse! It was worse! It was worse! It got worse! I went to the Old Testament when David came into town with the temple. He came in there, he's like praising and worshiping. Like, yes! That's what I did. I'm like, you, oh, Father. Ooh, I got in a lot of trouble. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Paul's got a little thing going here. He's talking. People are saying, you know, hey, I'm Peter's disciple. I'm Paul's disciple. I'm Apollos' dude. I'm his guy. So Paul addresses this, and I like the way he goes about it. We'll start in verse 4. We don't have a lot of time. Let's continue. For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not just ordinary men? These guys are just ordinary guys, just dudes. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Ministering servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord appointed to each task. Even as the Lord appointed to each task. They had a job that God has given them. You have a job God has given you. Maybe you don't know what it is yet. I'm still wondering. Maybe you don't. Go on. I planted, as Paul saying, hey, I planted, Apollos watered, but God all the while was making it grow, and he gave the increase. So I can work and work and work till my fingers bleed to the bone. But if God isn't in it, and God doesn't bless it, and God doesn't make it grow, what's going to happen? I'm just going to have bony fingers. Right? Let's keep going. So neither he who plants anything nor he who waters, but only God who makes it grow and become greater. God is the one that makes it greater. God is the one that takes everything you do and makes it greater. That I can't stand up there and say, look at me, look at me. No.
Look at me, look at me.
No, you can't. Look at him. He's the reason for it. Keep going. He who plants and he who waters are, what's that say? Equal? They're the same. One in aim, of the same importance and esteem, Amplified says. Yet each shall receive his own reward, wages, according to his own what? Labor. Really? It's a reward. I'm going to get a reward for my labor. Huh? Let's keep going. For we are fellow workmen with and for God. You are God's garden and vineyard and field under cultivation, God's building. Verse 10. According to the grace of God bestowed on me, like a skillful architect and master builder, I laid the foundation, and now another man is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. I'm going to say, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is already laid, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is your foundation you build on. Okay? The next part of this I want you to see. I believe I misunderstood the next part of these verses for a long time. But now when I'm looking at it today, I'm thinking, yeah. Okay, verse 12. But if anyone builds upon the foundation, what's the foundation? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's our foundation. If anyone builds on this foundation, whether it be with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw. When I first looked at that verse, you think, guy wouldn't build a house of straw, would he? Kind of stupid, wouldn't it? Unless you lived in Africa, and that's the only building material you had, and you made a really nice hut out of it. They'd make a nice house, right? Right? I always thought, this next part of this, when it talks about there's going to be a fire that's going to try your work. But you ain't got to build a straw. It's gone. It's it. You mean you light a match to straw, what happens to it? It's out of there. It's gone. Not what he's saying. Each one of us has got 5 talents, or 2 talents, or 1 talent, or 1/2 talent, or 1/4 talent. I have less than 1/800th or 1/1000th of a percent of talent. I'm the lowest you can get. I have the lowest talent of anybody you've ever met. Period. But I know if I can only build with straw, God's gonna give me something for that. Let's go on. That's verse 13. I want you to see this. The work of each one will become plainly, openly known, shown for what it is, for the day of the Lord will disclose and declare it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test and critically appraise the character and worth of the work each person has done. You catch that? The work you do, if it is not for the Lord, is going to burn up. Wow. We're talking about talent, right, guys? Talking about what we do with our money. We're talking about what we do with our time. Talking about what we do with the talents God's given us, right? This is talent. This is the work. This is the labor you're doing. This is what you're doing. What's he say? Verse 14, if the work which any person has built on this foundation survives the fire, what's say? He's going to get a reward. Cool. Reward. Okay. Verse 15, look at this one. But if any person's work is burned up, if it burns under this fire, this test, he will suffer the loss of all of it, losing his reward, though he himself will be saved, but only as one who has passed through fire. What? He's saying here, guys, your work, if it is done for God, will pass the fire test. It will pass the fire test. If I go out here and stop because you guys are behind me, then I make myself look good, give this guy a little money alongside the road. It ain't going to pass the fire test, is it? It's going to go up in smoke. And he says here, I think the reason he says this here at the end here, you're going to have no reward, but you're going to be saved. But like you just went through fire. Like you just went through fire. So what is this reward? Look it up. It's hard to find. Huh? Look it up. I want you to go to Revelation 19. I don't want to go too much over here, guys. I'm sorry. But I want you, you've got to see this. You have got to see this. If you see nothing else, you've got to see this. This, we're talking about your works being tried by the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't get to heaven by works. We get to heaven by the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross. But these works are fruits that you bear by being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Well, I clarify that. So, verse 19 here, Revelation 19. I'm going to read it. You're going to like this. It says, I want you to understand that we get to heaven. It's not going to be an old, we got to go to worship again. Praise and worship. Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. Huh? Amen. Huh? Look at this. Chapter 19. After this, I heard what sounded like a mighty shout. Huh? Of a great crowd in heaven exclaiming, Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Woo! Get you a little some of that. Get excited, huh? Praise the Lord! Because His judgments are true and sound and just and upright. He has judged. If you read the book of Revelation, there's a lot of judgment going on in Revelation. A lot. We go all the way up to chapter 4. John's talking about churches and different things, these cities, different churches. And after chapter 4, the church is not heard of again until now. We're gone. You are not judged in that. You can look at it any way you want. You're not judged in that. Let's keep going. God is a righteous judge. He's righteous. He has avenged, He has avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. He's talking about the cities destroyed. In verse 3, he says, and again they shouted, Hallelujah! Huh? Think you're going to get hoarse in heaven?
No.
Yes! Huh? You'll be able to hear me coming for a long ways off, won't you? See, there comes that crazy idiot. Huh? Hallelujah, the smoke of her burning shall continue to ascend forever and ever through eternities and eternities. Verse 4, then the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell prostrate and worshipped God who sits on the throne, saying, Amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Huh? Yeah. Then from the throne there came a voice saying, Praise our God, all you servants of His, you who reverence Him, both small and great. Verse 6, after that I heard what sounded like a shout. There's a lot of shouting going on here, guys. You getting this? These people are getting excited. Huh? There's a lot of shouting going on. There's a vast throng like the boom of many pounding waves. Boom! Yeah! Woo! And like the roar of terrific and mighty peals of thunder, exclaiming, Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! For our Lord God, the Omnipotent, He reigns. Huh? He reigns. Get excited? Yeah, He reigns. Let us rejoice. Verse 7. Let us rejoice and shout for joy. Let us celebrate and ascribe to Him glory and honor. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has prepared herself. Now what's this all about? The marriage of the Lamb? God the Father's bride is Israel. It's Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ's bride is you, the church. Huh? This bride, she has come. God, the Lord Jesus Christ has called you and I to heaven to be with Him. Your troubles are over. Huh? Praise the Lord. Let's look what He's got to say here. Verse 8. I want to look let you look at this verse 8. She has been permitted to dress in fine linen, dazzling and white. For the fine linen is, it signifies and represents the righteousness, the upright, just, and godly living deeds and conduct and right standing with God of the saints of God's holy people. What? We talked about works, right? Ain't getting you to heaven, but we talked about things you do for God. And you're going to get a reward in heaven. What's this reward going to be? It's going to be a fine looking linen. Woo! You're going to have heels, ladies, and nice looking dresses. Woo! Huh? Huh? What do you suppose is going to happen to the person? And we looked at in 1 Corinthians 3, it says everything he did was burned up. Might come to this marriage supper in socks. Huh? You think? Huh? We are not righteous only because of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's why we're righteous. Your righteousness, coupled with the works that you've done, is going to compose of the clothes you wear at the marriage supper. Huh? You ever hear that before? You ever wonder why we do good things? You ever wonder why we work for the Lord? We're saved. There's no reason to do anything else. We're all saved. We're going to heaven. Yay! Huh? God is going to look at you and say, well done. Well done. You took what I gave you and you used it. And you furthered my kingdom and you did the job that I gave you to do. Well done. Huh? I want to be in heaven. I want to hear that. I want to hear the Lord Jesus Christ tell me, well done, good and faithful servant. Huh? I think that's going to be payment enough, don't you? I want you to see that. I've been studying this for probably a month and a half. There's a lot of things that I didn't even talk about. But if you're not reading your Bible, and you're not studying this Word, and you're not having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, it's hard to know what you're supposed to do. It is. It's hard to understand what you're supposed to do. It's hard to realize that, you know what? God has you here for a reason. I tell a lot of people that. I say, I'm still here. Older guys say, yeah, I'm still here, brother. Your work's not done yet. Huh? You're still here because God's still using you. Huh? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Father, I ask a special blessing this morning. This is heavy stuff. This is deep. Father, I don't want to get too deep, but I want to get deeper in you. I want to know who you are. I want to understand that you are a God of all creation, and you love us, love me, and you want us to be working for your kingdom, and we want to know what you want us to do. We want to be going out there. We want to be talking to people. We want to be not be idiots. We won't want to condemn anybody. We don't want to turn anybody away from the faith, but we want to be the light that you sent us out in that world to be, that we can shine and people can say, you know what, there's something stupid, crazy wrong with that guy. But I'd like to know what it is. Oh, Father, I just ask that we would have a heart, and we would have a joy, and we would just have a desire to praise and magnify you in everything we do. And I would ask, Father, that we would come to you and say, Father, I want to prove you. I want to prove that you do what you say you do. I want to prove that you are who you say you are. And Father, I'm just asking for just a special onslaught of your power, majesty, that we would know that you are God. And you are in control, no matter what. Father, I praise you and I thank you. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. I'd like to have the praise band come forward this morning. We're a little short on singers, so I'm going to sing this morning. But I'd like to have Les and elders come forward. And it's here. Look like Les is it, brother. You're it. Large and in charge, man. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I hope you understand the message I brought this morning. I don't know it was a good message, but it's one that's been on my heart. And it's one I think we need to understand, that no matter what you do, God is in control of your life. And everything you have is His. Go ahead. Through the night of the shadow of death. Praise the Lord. Well, Julie? Terrible? That was terrible. No, God is good. Amen. Amen.